Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know what I'm ecstatic about, Dibs?
Tell me.
Niners training camp is here.
It's here.
It's football season.
Starting tomorrow, they're going to be out there doing their thing.
Who's going to be out there? Is Juwan Jennings going to be out there?
I mean, he'll be out there, but I don't know if he'll be out there. I would imagine he will be, like, present and out there. I don't think that he'll be running around and, like, catching passes and doing stuff.
Here's what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan had to say when they were asked, do you expect Juwan to be out there and involved?
You know, I saw the same tweets you guys saw, but like I'll just stick to what I said. Juwan's here. We expect him to be out on the field.
Yeah. So he hasn't formally asked for a trade.
We expect him to be out on the field, and he hasn't formally asked for a trade. Now, I guess there is how you exactly translate what he says there. We expect him to be out there on the field. Is that out there participating or out there just kind of watching everything that's going on? Like a John Lynch might do out there on the field, just watching.
Right. It depends on what you are asking him to do as far as him being out there on the field. And if he is in a certain mode of where he wants to either be traded or get a new contract, and he reported, which he did, he's here and he's him. So will he be out there on the field? I mean, he could be out there, but he could be, you know, somebody in a baseball cap and shorts and, yeah, you know, flip-flops or slides or Crocs or whatever he wants to rock. And it doesn't mean that he won't be out there. It's day one. So I do think that it becomes interesting when you listen to Kyle Shanahan and his later answer talking about wide receivers. And he said, anytime we don't have 12 for any NFL camp that he's been there in 21 years, he feels light. So we have 12, but even though we have 12, BA's not there, so we have 11. And Ricky's on PUP, so we have 10. And he said, well, you can get by with 10 until one guy has a sore hammy the next day, and then you go with 9, and then you have 9. And if one of those guys get hurt, now you have 8. And so when he started talking about 12, he had 12 with BA, 11,
yep,
with Ricky, 10. He didn't mention Juwan, which gets you down to 9. So I guess in that answer, he's figuring that, you know, he would be one of the 10 that would be out there. And as you go through a practice and you think about needing 10, that's about right. Because as you know, Grandy, when you go through these camp practices, you've got the first team, the second team, the third team.
Yep.
And so, you know, right now your first team would be Juwan, if interested, and it would be Cowing and probably, I mean, Robinson until he gets suspended.
Yeah.
So that's your first team. Then you go to, you know, Watkins, and, you know, you go further down the depth chart, and then your threes might include Equanimeous St. Brown.
They signed him today.
He got signed, and I do think that he is an interesting piece because he is such a good blocker as a receiver. So as you start to run through who your 10 would be without Brandon Ayuk and without Ricky Pearsall for now, that group is not a who's who of guys who've actually gone out there and done great things.
Speaking of Ricky Pearsall, here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say about Ricky and the injury that has him currently on the physically unable to perform list.
Ricky had a bad hamstring in OTAs. I mean, not real bad, a normal one. He's good now. He's hit all his miles per hour. He's fine. We just haven't seen him the last 2 weeks. We're not going to throw a wide out there the first 3 days. We don't want to pull it again until we see his conditioning and everything, which we should get in 3 days, and then he should be good.
Interesting answer from Shanahan. First said he had a bad hamstring at OTAs. Well, not that bad, just a normal one. And then said he's probably not going to do like the wide receiver drills and practice like a normal wide receiver would for at least 3 days until they kind of get a gauge of where he is at physically, because they don't want to make it worse or have him re-aggravate something. It doesn't seem to be too serious, at least currently, maybe not too serious, but it is still a concern. But that's one wide receiver. The way that they answered the Juwan Jennings questions, though, Dibs, and I don't know if you interpreted it this way or anybody else, and you can give us a call and let us know, 888-957-9570. The way I heard them talk about Juwan was setting the stage for he's going to be here tomorrow, and he's going to practice with us. Like, he's going to be running through drills. Now, maybe they don't actually believe that, and that's just a negotiation tactic and a way to bargain. And by setting this the stage and by setting the expectation that he will be practicing, and if he doesn't, that looks bad on Juwan, and maybe that's a piece of leverage that they could use. But based on what they're saying, I interpreted that as them saying, yes, he will be here, and we expect him to be practicing with the rest of the wide receivers tomorrow.
Right, and they can expect that. And, you know, he can show up tomorrow and have turf toe or bilateral Achilles tendonitis or a strained quad, a tweaked hammy.
I think I might be coming down with a cold, Coach.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you could come down with a temperature of 98.7, and that technically is a low-grade fever. So whatever it is, I mean, they can play this any way they want to play it. And perhaps John and Kyle had that answer thinking that by the end of business today, they're going to have a reworked deal, and Juwan will be made whole. And so that could happen between now and I think the first session tomorrow is at like 10:15 or 10:30.
I'll check.
They're out there. I was looking at the schedule earlier today, and I do think that it's kind of a mid-morning vibe where, you know, you could get to the field tomorrow and Juwan could show up at, I don't know, 7:30 or 8 o'clock and start getting ready for practice, and the deal can get done with his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. And, you know, the deal can be that close to being done. And so they can say, we fully expect him to be out there, and they could be knowing full well that the deal is going to get done. Or it could be what you are kind of hinting at, which is, yeah, it's a leverage play, and we expect him to be out there because he's under contract, and, you know, we're not going to trade him. He hasn't requested to be traded, so why wouldn't he be out there?
Yeah, no formal request to be traded.
Right.
Maybe it's been more informal so far, but it is always interesting the words that Shanahan and Lynch choose. And there was even a point in the presser where I forget who was asking the question, but the question essentially was the importance of last year's rookie class. It was also about this year's rookie class, but specifically last year's rookies, this year's second-year players. And it was in relation to like a second-year jump is what you need as opposed to a sophomore slump. And at the end of Shanahan's answer, John Lynch hopped in and said something along the lines of, shout out to Corey Rush, our PR guy, for getting us ready for the sophomore slump question. I say all that just to say that these guys, like, they have been briefed, and they generally have been warned by Niners staffers and told best ways to answer certain questions. I would imagine on a question as, I don't know, as important as the Juwan Jennings contract one, they were told which specific language to use, and Kyle Shanahan was told to say no formal trade request has been submitted by Juwan just yet. But maybe it's been less formal, is all I'm saying.
And it usually is less formal, where it's either the agent through the media, which is what this one felt like it was. And, you know, unless it's a player or an agent going to the team and saying, look, this is what we want. We want to be traded.
I think a Debo unfollowing the Niners on social media.
Right.
Like that's a less formal way of getting your message across.
Right, and hearing George Kittle earlier in the week saying, yeah, you know, Debo just needed a change of scenery. That tells me that there was more behind the scenes where, you know, Debo was in a spot where he, you know, kind of wanted to go do something else somewhere else. And maybe it was the role, the fit, whatever it was, it's okay. I mean, you get to a spot, and I've been there professionally where, you know, you're in a certain situation for a number of years and you realize that you might be better off going to a different organization and trying to start over and do something different. And so you do that. And for Debo, it's no hard feelings and you go be a Commander and all the rest of it. I don't think Juwan is yet to that point. And yeah, if it was not a formal request, and Kyle and John, I'm sure, heard about it because they're on social media and they're aware of social media and all the rest of it. But, you know, ultimately, I think Juwan Jennings and his agent and the Niners have been working behind the scenes to try to figure out what a reworked deal might mean for Juwan and how it might actually fit, because Juwan went from wide receiver 3 to wide receiver 1 last year. And right now, if you have everybody ready to go for week 1, he is your wide receiver 1, right?
Yeah. I mean, everyone other than Ayuk. Like, because Ayuk's not going to be ready.
Right. And we don't know when he'll be ready. And that was one of the things that kind of caught me, like the whole idea of midseason. And I don't know if he said midseason, but the sentiment I got was that it's more likely to be week 8 than it will be week 4 when he's going
to
be ready.
I have a couple of pieces of sound related to that that I'll play for you. The first one is John Lynch, just in general, asking about updates on both Brandon Ayuk and DeMarcus Robinson. Ayuk, of course, dealing with the torn-up knee. DeMarcus Robinson awaiting a ruling from the NFL. So here's John Lynch providing updates on both those two wide receivers, Ayuk and DeMarcus Robinson.
Yeah, that's a league matter as with respect to DeMarcus, and we'll let that play out. The league will handle that. We knew there was a possibility when we signed DeMarcus and have accounted for that. So we'll see. That's a legal matter that is playing out. With respect to BA, you know, he did a lot to his knee, and I would tell you that he's in really good place considering all that. Now, what does that mean in terms of a timeline and all that? We're continuing to assess and get information. He did a lot of his rehab away from here, and so, you know, I think when you get these guys back, there's all kinds of objective measurements that you want to do. And so he'll be working on his rehab and with our guys, and I think we're encouraged on where he's at, but not anywhere close to having a set-in-stone timeline.
Okay, there's John Lynch on Ayuk specifically there towards the tail end. I will let you hear more on Ayuk in just a sec, but first, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And reminder, sometime over the next 30 minutes, we'll ask you a question about something we said in the last 20 minutes. Just keep listening for the question and the cue to call the contest line at 415-523-4652. Don't call now, but the number you will call eventually, 415-523-4652, and that pair of tickets to Saturday night's Giants-Mets game will be yours, courtesy of Panini. I think, though, Dibs, this was the answer you were searching for. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch were asked about, I believe this question is specifically about Malik Mustafa, young safety for the Niners who underwent offseason ACL surgery. And Shanahan and Lynch, while answering the question, also bring up Brandon Ayuk. They also bring up Curtis Rourke, rookie quarterback out of Indiana. But essentially, you'll hear them say that all three of those guys are on a similar time frame in terms of their recovery from their knee injuries. And you will hear, I think, a time frame specifically for Brandon Ayuk as well. So here's Shanahan and Lynch on those knee injuries for Mustafa, Ayuk, and Rourke.
His recovery and how he is as good as it could be. Like, just the way he works, the way everything checks, it's amazing. But it's still an ACL, you know, so you still got to give it the time.
And I think, you know, to add to that, it's a revision. It's one he had previously hurt. And so I think with that, the time element, you know, I think there's a – Malik is going to outperform every time because he's a special athlete, and then he's a special human being who's going to do everything and more. But there is, I think, especially with the revision, just a time element that doctors want to see you get to that you know, puts some – he wants to be out there today, believes that he could be, but we have to kind of hold him back.
Give you guys timetables because timetables change all the time, and then Branch will hold me accountable like 6 months later. But when you look into, like, all three of our ACL guys, whether it's Rourke, Mustafa, and BA, they're all kind of in the same boat of – the time to come back, which isn't going to be training camp. I mean, it could be, but that would be very surprising. All right, but it'd be sometime in the season, hopefully the first half, and that's what we're hoping. And they're all three kind of in that same area, even though they all did it at different times, have different situations, but they're all about the same health time.
So there it is. If you could focus through the ringing phone on the desk,
right?
That was essentially Kyle Shanahan saying for all three of those guys. Malik Mustafa, second-year safety, Brandon Ayuk coming off of a torn-up knee, and Curtis Rourke, who the Niners hope doesn't play a snap for them this year. Nothing against you, Curtis. They expect those to be returned some point during the season, and Shanahan said hopefully in the first half. So that That would suggest, Dibs, that even just four games missed by Brandon Ayuk would feel like a major win for the 49ers. The Niners may be hoping it's eight or nine games missed as opposed to even more and going into the second half of the season.
It depends on, you know, how his rehab is going. And I've been going through all of the different RTPs, Grandy, the return to play protocols for the injury that he had. And keep in mind that Brandon Ayuk tore the ACL and the MCL.
Yeah.
So it's not just the one ligament. And looking at it's the National Library of Medicine.
Oh.
And they have chronicled the return to play protocol of 51 athletes who have had those two injuries, and they had the surgery, and it generally is 10 and a half months is the average. And so he had surgery on November 11th. And so if you look at 10 and a half months from November 11th, that would be roughly September 15th as the average. Now, there's a plus or minus of about a month and a half.
Okay.
So if you look at the plus or minus and you look at November 15th, plus a month and a half is November 1st, and minus a month and a half would be August 1st. So you're looking at a range of August 1st to November 1st. And just hearing what they're talking about, August 1st is a week from Friday.
Doesn't seem like that's happening.
Don't feel like that is going to be what is happening. And even like the median or the average, which would be 10 and a half months, which would get you to roughly October 1st, that feels to me like maybe the earliest you actually would see him.
October 1st is a day before their Thursday week 5 game in LA.
Right. And so if you start the year on the PUP, that would be four games.
Yes.
And then you would be cleared in time to maybe be ready for the LA Ram game. Thinking about the information that I've gleaned from all my research about knee injuries and being a knee injury sufferer myself, and thinking about two knee ligaments for Brandon Ayuk, and you know, the idea of why would you really want to rush him back when you've got this contract that you are sunk into? Like, you have anchored yourself to Brandon Ayuk at least for this year and one more. I think the out would be after next year, and even the out, that's still a big dead cap hit.
Expensive.
It's expensive. Yeah. So the only way you could get out would be to get him healthy and trade him. Ideally, you get him healthy and he becomes the player that he was before he got hurt. And that's really what you want. So for me, I think about like the ability to, or the idea of rushing him back. There's no sense in rushing him back. So even if he waits a year after surgery, November 11th of 2025, if he comes back November 11th,
that'd be for week 11. It would be his first game.
Right. That would give you 11, 12, 13.
By week 14.
15, 16. You have seven regular season and hopefully playoff games to where after seven regular games, you would hope that come the playoffs, he would be closer to where you would want him to be. So for me, the more I think about it and the more I hear them talk about it, it seems like the first 4 weeks, they're off the table. The next 4 weeks are kind of a maybe for Ayuk.
Yeah, which I think considering what we expected, we probably felt pretty good that he would be back at some point in the first eight, but that does not seem like a given. And you can say the same thing for Malik Mustafa. If we get away from the wide receiver room for just a little bit, Dibs, Malik Mustafa, who underwent ACL surgery this past offseason, John Lynch did make sure to specify that it is, quote, a revision for him. I guess I'd have to ask the expert in the room, and that is definitely you out of the two of us, Dibs. So he already had an ACL surgery, an ACL reconstruction, and now he had a similar procedure on the same ACL. Does that tend to mean recovery goes quicker the second time around? Does it take longer?
It's varied. It just depends on, you know, what the repair is like. And so what happened to Malik Mustafa is he tore the graft, which is basically the replacement ligament in his ACL. He tore that up again. So now you have to go in and see when you tore it the second time, how extensive is the damage to the surrounding tissue and, you know, the other areas where you want to connect the ligament to, because that's why it's a revision. And just looking at it, it's complex. And it just depends on, you know, what the remainder of the knee looks like. And if when he had that revision and he tore it again, was there other damage to surrounding ligaments or tissues that would reply or require rather this to be a more complex repair? I do think what actually plays in his favor is the fact that he is so young. And I know that when I had my meniscus repair and I was 47 or 48, blood flow becomes an issue because when you get older, you don't have the same ability to regenerate tissue as you do at your age, 29, and Malik Mustafa, who is, what, 23 or 24. And so even though he's going through it a second time, being younger definitely allows him to return a little bit quicker.
Yeah, and speaking of Malik Mustafa, maybe we're getting some mixed messaging, what Shanahan and Lynch are saying and what Mustafa is showing. He posted a photo of himself on his Instagram story this morning, him carrying his pads and his helmet, his upper pad, like his shoulder pads and such. He's wearing his lower pads with his Niners shorts, and he's walking out to, I would imagine, some training facility, Dibs, if you could see that there. So, I mean, he looks like pretty good, and there's nothing on his knee.
Nope.
He looks healthy, but the Niners are clearly not going to rush him either. But that does seem like good news as far as the Niners are concerned. There, we will see exactly the return to play. When it comes to safety, Dibs, it's crazy that Mustafa is entering his second year, and he is probably the most trusted guy the Niners have at that spot. Maybe encouraging for him specifically, but might not be a good thing for the roster as a whole. So they will definitely need him. The other thing, Dibs, that did stand out, he was essentially asked about the second-year class that includes Malik Mustafa, right, along with Renardo Green and Ricky Pearsall, and he was asked about their ability to potentially make a jump. And here's what Kyle Shanahan said about that on an improvement for those year two players or potentially a sophomore slump. Here's Kyle Shanahan.
I think that's one of the most important things. I mean, I think the most obvious thing is how many rookies we're going to be dependent on this year, especially when you look at the defensive side. We hope we are. But that goes hand in hand with the second year guys. Guys that came in here and did a hell of a job in their first year, guys like Renardo, guys like Ricky, Garindo, you got Mustafa, who will be back sometime during the season. But it's huge for those guys to take a second step. I mean, you talk about the sophomore slump a lot, and we're not in a position that we can afford that. So we're dependent on those guys to not have a sophomore slump. And I mean, I see it the same in some third year players who haven't. I mean, guys like D Winners and stuff. He got some playing time a little bit more last year, and he can't take a step back. We need all these guys to take a step forward. And talk about second year players, I have the same for the rookies, but I'll go to our vets also. Like, our vets need to take a step forward. Anybody here, I mean, it's the cliche thing, but you're getting better or worse. You're not staying the same. And I want to make sure I'm getting better. I want to make sure every player on our team's getting better.
There's Kyle Shanahan. Man, it's good to have his and stuff back, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so good. But he's not wrong. And if you look at the defense, and I'm just looking at the depth chart as put out by Our Lads, which is a great place to look at depth charts. And you look right now, and you've got Alfred Collins, rookie, Mikel Williams, rookie, Malik Mustafa, Renardo Green, second year. Those are four of your starting 11, according to Our Lads. And I know all this will change. And then you add in D. Winters, who is being penciled in right now as your starting linebacker opposite Fred Warner. But if it's not D. Winters, it's a rookie, Nick Martin. And then you go to C.J. West, who is a rookie. Upton Stout, who might eventually be your starting nickel.
He's a rookie.
Tatum Bethune, second year. So what Kyle is laying out there is actually the reality. And, you know, Daryl Luter Jr. is a backup to Lenore, and he's in his third year. But of your top 22 on defense, you've got about 9 or 10 first year, second year, and a couple of third years. And so that's where you look at Robert Saleh and say, all right, Robert, welcome back. You've got a bunch of pups, and you've got Bosa, and you've got Fred Warner, and you've got Demo, who, you know, he's been around for now. This will be, I think, his fifth year or so.
Yeah.
Drafted in 21, so he's more of a veteran. You've got Jordan Elliott, who's a vet, and you do have Trey Brown, who has played a lot of football. So it's a mix of veterans and, like, 22- and 23-year-olds. So Robert Saleh's job now, much tougher than it was the first time here.
Well, and this is something that you picked up on listening to the press conference the first time. A lot of what the Niners are saying, and Shanahan specifically, but also John Lynch is, in order for us to accomplish what we want this year, our young guys have to take a step forward. The rookies this year, they have to be good, and our second-year players have to be better than they were last year. And even the third-year guys, whether it is someone like D. Winters getting his first real shot or whatever the case is, they have to step up and be good. And it's what happened in 2019, Dibs, when the Niners burst onto the scene and set the stage for everything we've seen since. I mean, it was that draft class, right? It was Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa and Dre Greenlaw. That trio were all drafted that offseason in 2019. They came in and they immediately transformed the Niners team offensively and defensively. And those were three of the biggest players in the Niners' two trips to the Super Bowl and what, four trips to the NFC Championship game. Those three were key in every single one of those. If you have a draft even half as good as that, then this team will be maybe better than a lot of people are expecting right now and maybe even next year as well.
And you look at last year, and we haven't mentioned Dominic Pooney, maybe because we're so used to him being a mainstay.
Doesn't feel like a second-year guy.
Right, but he was awesome last year. And so last year's draft class was so good, and yet it netted you a 6-11 year, not because they weren't good enough, but because of a number of other factors. But all those guys you had last year as rookies who contributed, now you step in and you've got these guys as second-year players. So if this year's draft class can even approximate what you had last year and you get, you know, contributions from the people that you really are going to need to contribute, you start to look at, you know, if it's Mykel Williams and Alfred Collins, I think the Niners spent their first five picks all on defense. And so if you can hit on just, I don't know, three of those guys, if three of the five can be rotational or starters and they can come in and contribute, well, now your defense has got to be better than last year.
Okay, well, speaking of the rookies and playing time and if they contribute, if they don't, one question that Kyle Shanahan was asked was, will you let rookies learn through, play through maybe some struggles at times? Because no matter how talented you are, it's relatively rare that you got a rookie that just the second they step onto the field is good and mistake-free. So Kyle was asked, will you let rookies, young players in general, but specifically rookies, play through some mistakes and let them learn on the job? Here's how Kyle Shanahan answered that question.
Yeah, but I mean, it's also, is there a better vet behind him? Like, you're going to play the best player, whether he's young or not. We are in a situation where we have a lot of opportunities for young guys to be our best players. We haven't had that in a while, probably since 19. And that's why there's more room for young players to make it here. And I think we got the right young players to do that. But in any situation, if someone's struggling and we're going to put the best team out there possible, we have a chance for young guys to really earn that. But if there's someone better behind them, we're judged off wins and losses. You're going to do what it takes to win that game and then try to get a guy ready for the next week. But you're always going to put the best guys out there.
Well, there's Kyle Shanahan. So the question was, you're going to let rookies play through some struggles with the idea being maybe you'll be better for it, say, come week 12 or whatever it is. And he said yes, but then he basically explained no. Interesting, Kyle Shanahan, because he said yes to the question and then basically said, well, not if they're not the best player. He's always going to play the best player no matter what, so he's not going to play a young player for the sake of playing a player because they're young and maybe they have more room to improve. He's not going to be willing to put up with some of those growing pains if they have a better option, which makes sense if you're trying to win football games right now. But the correct answer to that question, Kyle, should be no, not no matter what.
I mean, it is no matter what, because, you know, you want to go out there and win games, and he's right and stuff. You're judged by wins and losses. And, you know, when you look at the roster, and like I was rolling down some of the names, and this is not the official depth chart, but let's just say that you start with Alfred Collins as one of your interior defensive linemen.
I would bet the Niners are expecting that to be the case.
Okay.
They're hoping,
right.
I think.
And so if he comes out and he gets a start, and after a couple of games he's getting moved to the side, he's getting moved back, and he's not doing the job, well, you got Kevin Givens, and you've got the guy in the Guardian cap, Evan Anderson, who you found last year, who was actually pretty sturdy for you. He had a good year, and he's going to make this team. So if Collins is not getting it done, same thing with Mykel Williams. If he starts and he's not able to be the game wrecker on the edge, well, you've got Bryce Huff, and Huff is going to play anyway.
Yeah.
And you know how they, you know, coach Kocurek, they rotate these guys, all of them, anyway. So everyone's going to get reps. It's not going to be Collins and Williams getting 90% of the snaps. Everybody rotates in and out, but if you get like two or three or four games into it and the vets are doing better than the rookies, well, the vets are going to get more of the snaps. And that's where the D Winters and Nick Martin one becomes interesting, because D now entering his third year, he should be the heir apparent to Dre Greenlaw. But if he gets beaten out by Nick Martin, well, then Martin's going to get the start. He's going to get more of the snaps and vice versa. So it has to be a meritocracy in the NFL. You can't just lean to your draft guys, or you can't just lean to older players, because that's what you want to do.
Yeah, I agree. Everything you said, I'm right there with you, and Shanahan is as well. My point is, he answered the question. The question was, will you play rookies through struggles? And he said, yeah. And then
no.
Explained why the answer right. Was actually no. So it was kind of an interesting way for Shanahan to answer the question. But there's nothing wrong with that. Now, you might get to a point where, and this is maybe where a Steve Kerr comparison comes in. Maybe you're better in present day, whether it's now for the Warriors or, you know, March of a basketball season. In football, you're better in December. As a result of allowing your young players to play and learn, maybe as a result, you're better come the end of the year. But a team like the Niners, Dibs, who's coming off of missing the postseason and only winning six games, you might not have the room to take a chance and maybe put a worse team out there week one, week two, week three, with the idea of being better down the road in mind, because you just got to win as many games as you possibly can. Like, if you're the KD-era Warriors, you can live with right. Maybe doing some of the other stuff, because you know your talent is just going to beat everybody else out at all the other positions. But the Niners are probably not in a spot, talent-wise, where they are just far and away the best roster in the NFL anymore to encourage them to take a risk like that.
And it's also football, where in football you can't really play around with that, because let's just say you want to go with a rookie in the secondary. You know, you want to play Upton Stout over Trey Brown as your nickel cornerback. And, you know, Upton maybe isn't quite there, but you want to see what he has, and you want to give him his reps, and you want to give him his time. And, well, he gets cooked for a big play, or he gets cooked for a touchdown, and you lose a game. Losing a game in football is worth a whole hell of a lot more than in the NBA, especially True. Because, you know, the NBA, if you are top 10 of 15, you at least get in the play-in. And, you know, you get to the NBA and you've got 20 games left to go, you can kind of buckle down and you can tighten your rotation and you can, you know, maybe go on a run. If you're in the NFL and you are kind of playing around with the roster and you're trying to see this and see that, and, you know, you're 7-7 and now you need to go 3-1 just to maybe sniff a wild card, well, it's too late. So in football, you can't really trifle around with games just trying to see what guys have.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. You know who else spoke today in addition to Shanahan and Lynch?
Who?
Brock Purdy.
Really?
The new multi-million dollar man, Brock Purdy himself. He spoke. I will get to that coming up in just a sec. But first, it is time, if you want to win a pair of tickets to Saturday night's Giants-Mets game, now is the time. So listen very carefully. That Saturday game, by the way, which is a night game, interesting, Saturday night game, the Mets are in town. It also is Stephen Curry bobblehead night. The first 20,000 fans will get that Steph Curry bobblehead. And we're giving away a pair of tickets courtesy of Panini right now. All you need to do is be the first person to the contest line at 415-523-4652 with the answer to the following question. Dibs and I earlier were reacting to Shanahan and Lynch's press conference, and one of the things that stood out to us was that Shanahan said this player has not formally requested a trade. What is the answer to that question? What player are we talking about? Call the contest line right now, 415-523-4652. Be the first to give our guy Ken the answer, and you will win the pair of tickets to Giants-Mets on Saturday, courtesy of Panini. Good luck, and thanks for listening. Okay, Brock Purdy. This is a really interesting answer that he gave. He was asked, of course, about the contract that he signed, and essentially was asked if financial stability, Dibs, if that changes him and his mindset at all. Here's what Brock Purdy had to say.
No, I mean, obviously, the organization, that's their way of, you know, showing that they, you know, put their trust and faith in me as a guy to lead this organization, and I'm very honored for that. Obviously, I've always believed that I'm able to be that guy for this organization. And so, but it doesn't matter how much I get paid, man. Every single year, my process has been, how do I get ready for this game? And any play or situation that I'm put in, this is my answer. And I got to go get to my answer and do that consistently, find ways to win games, you know, obviously put a season together, get to the playoffs, and try to get and win a Super Bowl. And so, and that doesn't matter how much I get paid. So for me, it's still getting better. The tape doesn't lie. I got to watch the tape, and Shanahan, Kubiak, Lombardi, they're all real with me about where I need to get better, and they push me with that, which I love. And so, but that's my mindset every single day. It doesn't matter how much I'm getting paid or what. I'm going to go out there, and anytime I step out in the field, I'm the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and there's a standard that I got to play at and a chip that I have to have on my shoulder every single rep, every single day. So I don't look at it any differently. I never have, and I won't. So that's where I'm going to be at moving forward, too.
And there's Brock Purdy. That is as Brock Purdy of an answer as it could possibly get. What's interesting is he said, quote, it doesn't matter how much I get paid. I would imagine John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan heard that and said, well, you could have taken a little less if you really wanted, Brock.
I mean, he could have gotten more. So, I mean, I think that the deal ultimately was kind of a fair, square
deal. I think so, too.
For where he sits on the pecking order, where he is actually among quarterbacks to make 53 average annual and to get the guarantees that he got. And, you know, they still have one more year of bargain Brock. Yeah. I mean, bargain, he's making $9 million this year, but he's not making 53. So he's got one more year where they can take advantage of that. They can save up cap room for the future and, you know, hopefully still develop and add around him this year and in the future. But, you know, here in Brock Purdy, he's kind of baby Shanahan now with his, it's almost like the Shanahan monotone and just, you know, matter of fact. And everything he said is spot on. And the one thing I do find interesting is the elevation of Clay Kubiak, who goes from, you know, passing game specialist to now he's the offensive coordinator. And we know that Kyle Shanahan is really the offensive coordinator, but Clay Kubiak and Kyle, they work hand in hand. So Kubiak elevated up to replace Brian Griese, who's moved on to other pastures elsewhere. So I just wonder, I don't really wonder, like, can Clay do it because he's been there, but this is a new role for Clay Kubiak, and for Brock Purdy, it's a new guy who's going to be in his ear.
Yeah, and I mean, the important thing there from Brock, I can poke fun and say, well, Brock, if the money didn't matter, then you could have taken less, and you could have helped, you know, given the Niners an easier access to building a better roster. I'm just having fun with Brock there, but I think the larger point is the amount of money that he's getting paid won't change his process. And he's still going to come in every day with the same mindset that he did over the first handful of years that he was the starting quarterback. And that is what you want, because for so many people, and I think it's the natural human reaction, Dibs, you get broken off a check like that, and maybe your natural instinct, your natural response, at least after a certain amount of time, is like, okay, like, I can take it easy now. I worked so hard to get here. Now I can kind of just coast. And it's one thing to say it, it's another to do it, so we will see how it looks the rest of Brock's career. But the fact that he's saying that is a good sign and shouldn't surprise anybody, because Brock has always said the right things and to this point has also always done the right things. Whether or not he's having success on the field is beside the point. He hasn't really ever not put in the work to give himself the best opportunity.
And until we see the money actually, I don't know about change him, but like alter the way he goes about dressing and driving and the jewelry and the ornamentation and all the rest of it, if the money starts to affect the person that he ostensibly has become, to go from where he was to where he is now, then you might have some trouble signs, but he still seems to be the same humble kid he's always been.
Oh yeah, and it's less to me about what he drives and what he wears and if he's got jewelry or chains or all that, and it's more about the way in which he attacks his work, which feels a lot more important to me. Kyle Shanahan asked what he expects from Brock Purdy this year now that he got the big contract. Here's Purdy's head coach Shanahan on expectations for Brock.
I think Brock's played at a very high level since he's been here, since his first game in to his last game. I think Brock's played on extremely high level, and that's why he's earned that contract. I think the hardest thing with this league and the amount of money and the amount of coverage, when people get contracts, there's all this other expectation of now what do they have to do. And Brock needs to keep playing how he's always played and continue to get better, like everyone does. Like, you get better or worse, you don't stay the same. So, like, Brock has had a hell of a short career so far. He had a hell of an offseason. And when you have a guy who is, to me, real in those ways, it hasn't been fake. The way he works, who he is as a man, what he's put on film, what we see every day, he will keep getting better. And that's what we saw throughout OTAs.
All right, there's Shanahan on Brock. And Shanahan obviously is right in saying that nothing changes for Brock. He just needs to come in and keep doing the same thing that he's been doing and get better like everybody else. He talked about how the pressure changes. Maybe it's the same on the inside, but I can guarantee you, Dibs, and we're in the media, we are part of this, but when you are paid that much money, expectations from the outside looking in get ratcheted up. And if Brock Purdy has a game where he throws three interceptions and one of them costs you the lead at the very end of the football game, the conversation will be a little bit different when he's making whatever it is, $40 million a year versus when he was making less than $5 million a year in the past.
Yes, but that is only the outside noise. And so if you're Brock Purdy, you can look at so many other examples of quarterbacks like, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. And I'm not saying you have to be Patrick Mahomes, but Mahomes went out there and got, what, $450 million or whatever his contract was. It was an obscene amount of money and not fully guaranteed. Now. It's a bargain now, but the contract he got was massive, and then he went out and won two Super Bowls. And Josh Allen now has gone out and gotten a huge contract, and Lamar Jackson got a big deal, and he won the MVP. So you don't have to look too far to see other players who've gotten a lot of money and still gone out and just handled their business. And for Brock, it's not even about the next contract. It's not even about proving this contract. It's about going out there and doing what you love. Like, you love playing quarterback, and you are the quarterback of the Niners, and you have a good team, and you will be good most likely most of the time because your organization has that as a standard. So go out there and play football. Do what you enjoy. The money's going to be there. And if you're worried about the full boat of your contract, the $265 million, well, then play well, and then that money will be there too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's fine in that respect. But the pressure does get ratcheted up from the outside, and now he's looking at trying to get this done with, I think to this point, Dibs, it's last year was a challenge because there was no McCaffrey and Trent missed time, and Ayuk got hurt, what, week four? From a we're entering the season standpoint, though, this is the least amount of offensive talent that Purdy's ever had around him. Now, I know last year was different once injuries happened, but in terms of entering a season when we all expected McCaffrey to play, Ayuk got signed, Debo was still here, Williams, Trent was healthy, Kittle was healthy. That was last year. This year, now you go in, Debo's gone, Ayuk is currently hurt, Ricky Pearsall, we'll see, Juwan Jennings wants a contract or wants to be traded. This is the least amount of talent he's had around him on offense in his career, which isn't saying that much because he's been as part of the most talented offense in the NFL in his career, but there is more on his plate than I think there ever has been before.
I think that this year has the potential to be more talented than last year. If you want to look at last year where Ayuk played four games, he was out. You're going to get more than four games from Ayuk, you would expect. You're going to have McCaffrey, and I'm not guaranteeing that he plays all 17, but he starts the year healthier than he did last year. Kittle is Kittle. I don't think that Kittle has taken any step back. We won't know till the year starts, but Kittle is every bit as Kittle as you would expect him to be. Juwan Jennings, assuming that they deal with the contract, I imagine that he'll be the same player that he was last year, and you would think that Pearsall is going to be better in his second year. Trent Williams likely to play more games based on not having personal tragedy. I know he's older, and we can never assume health or injury, but I look at this offense and what potentially will be around Brock Purdy, and I think it's going to be better than what last year was. Not as good as 2 years ago. 2 years ago, when you had everybody healthy and Debo, peak Debo and Ayuk, a career year and all the rest of it. Yeah, but better than last year for sure.
Well, when you factor in the injuries that happened last year, but we're talking about 365 days ago at this point, the assumption that Ayuk gets figured out versus today, he's going into this season with, I think, what most people would say is, yeah, that's a less talented group around him.
Fair. I mean, the Ayuk one was a weird one because...
Very weird.
We all kind of thought that he would start slow, and he did, and then he had like a half of really good football, and then he got hurt. Yep. And he tore up two ligaments, and that was it. And McCaffrey, kind of similarly, we all expected him to play in the opener, and he not only missed the opener, but he missed about 6 weeks, yep. And then he also started to really get rolling, and he got hurt too, so... Injuries are something you could never predict, but right now, if you look at it here in mid to late July, McCaffrey looks good. He is a father now. He looks healthy. He looks rested. Kittle is ready for a big year. Juwan Jennings coming off a big year, assuming his contract gets sorted. So I look at the offense right now, and I do think it's better than it was last year.
Yeah, one thing that I think it was John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan speaking earlier today, they did say, specifically on McCaffrey and Trent Williams, they've already both arrived, and they both look healthy, and they're ready to go. And that is really, really important. But you brought up Juwan Jennings. Brock Purdy also was asked about Juwan Jennings. Just asked specifically, hey, Brock, how important is it to get Juwan Jennings situated? Here's Brock.
I mean, it's extremely important. Obviously, love JJ and what he brings to our team and to myself as a quarterback. Obviously, we've had so much success together. Anytime you see something like this going on, you know, as a player, it's like, man, like, let's figure out something so we can get back out on the field and we can continue to do what we've done. So, obviously, I hope everything gets handled and everything, but would love my guy to be out there on the field with me.
There's no doubt that he needs him out there. I mean, he became his security blanket, Dibs, not just on third downs, especially on third downs, but also other downs. Juwan Jennings was a complete receiver last year.
Yeah, and he was just about the only real complete receiver outside of course, you know, George Kittle, who is going to be, again, I think he's going to be the key receiver. But yeah, it was Juwan Jennings. It used to be third and Juwan. Now it's first and Juwan, second and Juwan, and third and Juwan. And so... You know, pending Ricky Pearsall and his availability, and I did like the way he ended last season. He ended last season not quite with a bang, but with a, oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, Juwan had like three good games in a row, and you hope that Cowan can step forward, and if Ayuk can eventually make it back, and Robinson post-suspension, but you've got a lot of question marks outside of Juwan Jennings.
Speaking of third and Juwan, Brock was asked when Juwan earned trust on third downs.
Yeah, I think Seattle, I can't remember if it was my rookie year or second year, I threw him, you know, like a out route at 4 yards. It was like third and seven, and he broke like three guys off him and then got the first down. I was like, okay, like, you know, Juwan's a guy that's going to fight until the very last whistle or breath that he has. Like, he's a gamer, man. And obviously he's done that just game after game. You know, he fights his butt off. He blocks his butt off for everybody. It's not just about Juwan. Like, he's doing it for everyone on the field and for his team. So absolutely love playing with him and his mindset every game, man. Obviously I have nothing but respect for Juwan, and that's my guy.
I remember the play that Brock Purdy was talking about. I think it was, yes, it was Brock's second year, the year the Niners went to the Super Bowl and lost. The Thursday game in Seattle, week 12, I remember it because it was Al Michaels on the call, and this nowadays, Al Michaels on the call means it's a Thursday night game.
Amazon,
and it was an important third down where Juwan caught it like 3 yards short of the sticks. I think they were in the red zone, so they needed to turn that into a touchdown. They ultimately ran away with it, but it was the game was hanging in the balance at that point, and Juwan broke like four tackles and carried three dudes on his back to get the first down. And according to Purdy, that's the moment that Juwan earned his trust on third downs. And now it's almost a shock when anybody other than Juwan is option number one on a big third down play.
Other than Kittle, who actually had one more catch than Juwan last year, 78-77. And
what about on third downs, though, Dibs?
Third down catches, I'll have to dive deeper into
that's
the numbers.
Dive.
But, you know, Juwan has always been that big third down guy, and yards per catch, George was at 14.2, Juwan was at 12.7. Ayuk actually at 15 yards a catch last year. He led the team with just the 25 catches, so he didn't have quite the same body of work in the... Ayuk played seven games. That's more than I remembered, but...
Wow, yeah, I thought it was more like five or six.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Seven games, and the thing about it was 47 targets and only 25 catches, and there were a number of drops in there, which frustrated many people, and so...
Yeah, the drops early.
Yeah, it drops early, and then, you know, he finally got hurt, and so there were no more drops, but the Niners last year... They only completed 56% of their passes to wide receivers. And this is why when I look at, you know, the import of Jennings, he's important. And he led the team among wide receivers in catches, but you had Kittle with 78, you had Juszczyk 19, Garendo 15, McCaffrey 15, Mason 11, Saubert 11. So they do a lot of the receiving by committee as opposed to a lot of teams where... You know, it's just your receivers. And I wonder what Philadelphia's numbers are in catches by receivers with their, you know, the big two and then the third receiver they have as well.
Yeah, I wonder because they're also a team, and I know we were talking about this earlier, Dibs, they just run the ball relentlessly. So they have a smaller share of passes to go around.
Right.
And, I mean, Saquon, not the elite catcher, pass catcher out of the backfield that McCaffrey is, but he can catch some passes. Let's see, just last year, number of total receptions, 303. A.J. Yep. Brown, Devontae Smith, 67 and 68. And then tight ends are their third and fourth best pass catchers with Goddard and Calcaterra up near the same levels, those two combined as the top wide receivers. So might be a similar split for the Eagles. But that's kind of the pathway for the Niners. They have to kind of model themselves after the Eagles, I think.
Yeah, 59% for the Eagles. They had 180 of their 303, only 303 catches. And, you know, they had the biggest disparity that I've seen. They had 621 rushes, 448 pass attempts. Wow. They had almost 200 more rush attempts, and they were the champs. And we can get more into my deep dive on the rush-pass breakdown tomorrow because I found some fascinating trends around the league.
That's a tease for 20 hours from now.
Nice.
That's what that is. All right, time for a break. All guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? It's Dibs and Grandy on Willard and Dibs. We'll wrap things up next on 95.7 The Game.
But first, it's Dan Dibley here to talk about Fremont Bank, a family-owned bank with the family-owned feel. My family-owned bank, and I'm a part of the family because I am a customer of Fremont Banks, and I love the family-owned feel that comes along with being a customer. And I know that they're deeply committed to contributing to their clients' goals because I'm one of the clients that they contribute to, and they empower the community all around all of us. And Fremont Bank's been doing it now since 1964, 60 plus years in business. And when they set out to build this, they wanted to build a local ecosystem that is created around people, local people, business people, nonprofits, philanthropy, homeownership, everything else that makes our Bay Area tick. Fremont Bank is a big time part of it. They got 21 branches throughout the Bay Area, and I encourage you to go into one of the branches and see exactly for yourself what a good local bank looks and feels like. Fremont Bank is constantly working for you around the community. I know they're working for me because I am a customer, and I know my money is working all around all of us to help the Bay Area be better than ever before. It's Fremont Bank, here for you. And here for good.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you,
and
Kelly Savalas.
Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy in for Willard today. Niners training camp officially opened today. I don't think there's any outstanding players. They're still waiting to report. Not like a couple of years ago when Nick Bosa didn't show up. Last year, I guess everybody showed up because Ayuk was technically a hold-in. Juwan Jennings reported. Good news there. And if you take what Shanahan and Lynch said earlier today at face value, they expect Juwan to be working out and practicing tomorrow. Now, we will ultimately see. And of course,
they said on the field, right? We expect to see him on the field. I think that's what they said.
They might have used the word practicing at one point. Let me see if I could find the exact
I'm not trying to like hit you with captain semantics, but I thought that I heard them say, we expect Juwan to be out there on the field tomorrow, which I guess you could interpolate that to mean that you expect him to be practicing. I'm not sure if that's what I would glean from that. Depends on, you know, what the expectation is. I do know that one of the answers they also gave was 3 days of no pads and then a fourth day of no pads. So they actually won't be in pads. I think they're going Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, off day Saturday, and then Sunday, I think, would be the first day they could actually pad up and get after it.
Yeah, the exact wording was John Lynch saying, anticipates Juwan Jennings, quote, being out there. And the context was at practice, but I guess it leaves a little room for interpretation in terms of what does being out there at practice mean.
Right.
Is he actually practicing, or is he just standing there on the practice field in street clothes?
I actually might be out there at practice tomorrow.
Oh,
well, okay. I'm not going to be, but I mean, I might be out there on Thursday, and if I'm out there on Thursday, I can guarantee you that I won't be practicing, but I'll be out there.
True.
Mm-hmm.
It would be fun to see you try to get out there and practice. Just
it
try to break through
fun.
And like, find a way.
I mean, maybe like, I guess 25 years ago when I was about your age or Lucas's age and I could, you know, still go vertical, horizontal, and occasionally diagonal. But as you get older, and I don't want to always portray myself as the, quote, old guy, because thankfully I'm not the oldest guy on the station, that guy is such a D. He's actually older than I am, but you get to a certain point in your life where you start looking at the things you used to do, and you, I'm not ever doing that again. Like, that's a no. That's a definite no. For example, I used to play a lot of like pickup tackle football. We would meet in, I think it was Tiburon, Lucas? One of those like...
I don't know where you used to play.
I'm trying to... At Corte Madera. I apologize. Corte Madera. There was a like a middle school or a grammar school, and you could just, you show up, you park your car, and about 12 or 14 other people would be there, and you just play tackle football.
I can never say I've played pickup tackle football. I've played tackle football with like a group of friends, but I've never just shown up to a random place.
Live a little, Grandy. Come on.
I didn't know pickup tackle football was a thing.
The great Ryan O'Neill and his brother and Eric Zamarki and other Marin luminaries, it was a thing. It's like, we're just going to show up. Like Billy Wilson would be there and Mike Purdy and Party, I apologize. We just show up, you play football. And like,
whoever, sounds fun, yeah.
Fun, like at your age, but now the very idea of running around and being tackled by other adults, no thank you. Like, put me in traction now.
Oh, I miss the days of when growing up, all the kids in my neighborhood, we'd play a game of tackle football every Thanksgiving. That was like a highlight of my year. That was always so much fun.
My brother don't Mikey 1.0, White Hill School in Fairfax, Lucas, Mikey 1.0 would put together a game. He still actually hosts the game. It's a little bit of a different vibe now that he's 2.0, but back then it was show up at 8 o'clock, he brought the keg. And
nice.
Well, we played flag, but it was rough flag. Like, you go for the flag, but if you happen to tackle the person in going for the flag, that was okay.
The way that I can guarantee I'm able to grab your flag is by first bringing you to the ground anyway, and then I can just take your flag off.
Exactly. Or, you know, and this is all my older brother and his friends. The way that they would go about getting my flag would be, we're going to go ahead and concuss you. And then we'll take the flag off of your quivering corpse.
That's a good strategy if the refs are going to allow it, Dibs. They're just taking advantage.
There were no refs.
I know.
Shout out the 90s. But anyway, that's one of the things that you check off the list of things you'll no longer do. Mm. Like downhill ski, I think I'm good on that. You know, like water ski or surfing, snowboarding. These are things that as you get older and eventually, hopefully, the two of you whippersnappers get there, you're going to realize that there are, like Lucas, he still tries to play like adult league hardball baseball.
Apparently he can throw 90.
Not a thing.
That's funny. That's funny. But I mean, it's not too far in the future where there's going to be a UCL or a shoulder.
Don't tell that to Luke. He's already dealt with so many issues.
Right. And It's the reality of getting older, is all I'm going to say.
Like, throwing 7 innings every Sunday, my arm feels like it's falling off every Monday.
Dude, no doubt. And are you still, what are you, throwing like high 70s? You still touching 80 on occasion?
In the 70s.
Okay. It's not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I was born in the 60s. I lived in the 70s, man. It was pretty cool. I'll be honest.
So in terms of what's left, what do you still play? I mean, we were just talking about table tennis, ping pong earlier. I know you can still play that.
Oh, yeah. Like table tennis, I can do.
Pickleball?
Pickleball, sure. I can still pickle it up.
You play golf.
Golf, absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, even tennis, like I could play tennis, and you and I have gone back and forth about me talking trash about how I could beat you, and honestly, I probably can't because I'm 57 with a bad knee, 56, but coming up on 57, the point is well made where if I were to go out and play tennis, I can play, but the frustration of not being able to do what I once was able to do, it almost makes it to where it's not worth it. Like, you're going to hit one in the corner, and I'm going to waddle over and get it and, you know, feather one back to the middle of the court, and you're going to put me in the other corner, and I'm not going to be able to get there. And then it's really frustrating.
Speaking of, so getting older and abilities diminishing a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Trying to bring it back to the 49ers. I wonder when Trent Williams is ever going to get to that spot. The fact that he hasn't yet, like that he's still top of the league in terms of tackles in this sport, is absurd. And there's no denying his importance because, what, he missed 7 games last year and the Niners went 1-6 in those 7? Like, there's so many guys that you circle for the Niners and you say, all right, McCaffrey has to stay healthy. Obviously, Brock has to stay healthy. Kittle has to stay healthy. Trent has to stay healthy. Fred Warner, man, if he doesn't stay healthy, they're in, like, all of those guys. If they have abnormal injury years, this might be a rough year. Like, those guys all have to stay healthy.
Well, I think Trent, first and foremost, outside of Brock, I mean, the quarterback, I mean, I don't think any of us want to see McCorkle Jones for 12 games because Brock's arm fell off again, but...
What about Tanner Mordecai, Dibs?
Whatever you want to, like, fill in the blank.
Or Curtis Rourke once he recovers from his ACL.
Is that the Marin Catholic kid or no?
No. That's Spencer Petras.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
He's probably not going to make the team.
I mean, my Niner QB depth chart, it has a limit, but if you think about, like, the unreplaceable... injury guy, I think Trent Williams is number two because who's your left tackle if he goes out?
Burford.
Austin Pleasants? Okay, he might be a nice little player, but you're talking about a Hall of Famer, a first ballot Hall of Famer, a guy who, to your point, even though he's about to be 37, he still will go out there and he will maul you. Oh, if you're in his way, you're going down. He is... a massive human being, but he's also nimble, quick, and agile. So, I mean, tip of the cap to Trent Williams, and hopefully he can stay healthy.
Yeah, he's got to stay healthy. There's no doubt. I'm sure we might hear from Trent Williams tomorrow. Did not speak today. Some of the other big Niner names did, including Brock Purdy. More will be talking tomorrow, and we'll bring it to you here on Willard and Dibs coming up tomorrow. Plus, I'm sure you will hear a ton from both the morning show and Steiny and Goo on Niners training camp as well. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's best of the game, an hour of 95.7, the game's best content from the day. And kicking it off is Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch speaking down in Santa Clara to kick off Niners training camp. Their full presser will begin best of the game in about 5 minutes here on 95.7. The game. Dibs, I'll see you again tomorrow, hopefully. Not hopefully.
Whoa. This guy's trying to put me in the coffin.
I was
early.
Just going
to
say, I would imagine we will not be wearing the same shirts tomorrow, but we shall see.
I'll call you in the morning and see if we can run it back.
You don't need to do that.
I'm going
to
call your roomie and see if I can get a scouting report on what you're wearing.
I don't know if
wearing.
We own any of the other same shirts. Might just be this one.
Actually, I think we have the same Valkyrie shirt.
You're right.
You wore a Valk's shirt that I have, a couple of them. So
I will not wear it tomorrow.
I may try to scout you out and see if we can't twin it up one more time, my little twinsie.
You're going to want to stay tuned. See you on YouTube tomorrow if we're twinning once again. For Dibs, for Lucas, for Ken, I'm Mark Randy. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow on 95.7 The Game.